Well, the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta was even busier than usual yesterday. It was an exceptionally busy day at the state capitol with action on the Education Achievement Authority, with action on scrap metal reforms, which have been talked about for years, action as well on a balanced budget amendment, which has been percolating at the state capitol here, and we're going to try to make sense of it all with Rick Pluta right now. Welcome. You know,
making sense of it all may be asking a lot.
Well,
but,
that may be. We just hope that your cocktail has been prepared to your satisfaction here this morning.
My ice cubes are a little small, but okay. We can go from the smooth tones to the flash and bedlam that is the Michigan legislature.
That's right. Let's talk about the Education Achievement Authority here first. The bill to expand this narrowly passed. This was 56-54 in the House. It wasn't looking good, but they made some changes that got enough votes. This has been quite the political lightning rod.
Mm-hmm. It's one of Rick Snyder's big priorities that he wants to help fix schools, which is basically a system, a place to put the very worst performing schools, not district schools, in the state, and they would basically be placed in their own district, sort of metaphysical district that would be run. Right now it's run by what's called the Educational Achievement Authority, and it's basically a public-private partnership with Eastern Michigan University. And the results have been pretty mixed, that the test scores aren't what you would necessarily hope for. The people who are backing it are saying, well, it's because you look at where, you know, these students come from, the schools that they're in, that it just takes a while to get it done. But it was really hard, which is often the case with these education reform measures, to even get sufficient support in the Republican caucus, which are in the majority in both the House and the Senate. And that's because education is kind of a bipartisan question, that, you know, we think about it a lot with, you know, teachers' unions versus administrations, which seems like it would be very R versus D. But lawmakers have relationships with their superintendents, their school board presidents. And so it can be hard to make big changes happen. The big changes in this are that it wouldn't just be the Educational Achievement Authority. Now there would be some other options that maybe
ISDs.
Yeah, that the intermediate school district might become involved. Another school district might become involved. A charter school might become involved. And that's, you know, the real political hot button that, there are a lot of people, especially the teachers' unions, that are saying that, you know, we've already thrown too much from the classic school system into charters. Let's not throw any more, especially when the results in charter schools are so mixed.
Landscape changed here a few weeks ago, too, when Michigan School Superintendent Mike Flanagan ended the EAA's mm-hmm. exclusive contract to turn around Michigan schools, which I take it paved the way for what happened yesterday. We'll remind our listeners that Mike Flanagan will be on Current State here coming up just this next Monday. So what finally got it done? What key changes were made?
Just those things that we just talked about. And you're right. And both sides sort of claimed it. The side that wanted to allow more schools into the Education Achievement Authority or whatever system you're going to use, up to 50 now, or once it goes to the governor, they said, look, we made some changes that we allowed for, you know, more local involvement with, you know, the intermediate school districts or the charters. And, you know, both sides said, well, the fact that the state ended that exclusive contract shows either that it's not working and, you know, we shouldn't go further down this path, or that we're willing to learn and change. And basically, you know, learn and change won out in the state house last night and will probably in the state Senate next week. And, you know, Rick Snyder will get to, you know, sign another one of his priorities in short order.
After literally years of work and deliberation and horse trading, the legislatures agreed on scrap metal reform. Mm. Scrap metal plunder has ravaged quite a bit of Detroit and other cities.
Actually, it's not just an urban problem.
That was one of my questions, really. I mean, Mike Duggan played such a key role in getting this done? I guess it's easy to assume this is an urban problem, but it's really more than
that. That actually, you know, people who live in rural areas, agricultural areas, farmers say people literally come and strip the siding off of, you know, off of their barns to, you know, take them to scrap yards and sell them. Utilities have a big problem with it, and it's literally physically dangerous with
copper wire.
Yeah, people breaking into the transformers and reaching in and grabbing, you know, copper wire and other stuff, and so that's an issue. But it is, you know, when you look at Detroit and our other urban centers, that this is a huge question because it is hard to attract businesses to your city, especially technologically centered businesses, if they've got to put more money into protecting their infrastructure. That they're, you know, afraid that literally they're going to come in, they're going to build it, and someone's going to break in overnight and yank it out and sell it to a scrapyard. And what the scrapyards are saying is, but don't, you know, place this onerous burden on us to fix the problem. You know, go after the thieves, don't go after the scrapyards. And, you know, what a lot of lawmakers, Detroit Representative Rashida Tlaib in particular, are saying, you're part of the problem and you're going to have to step up. So, you know, now pictures will have to be taken of sellers and of, you know, what it is they're selling, especially if you're talking about copper wire, metal, catalytic converters,
things conditioners,
like that. And, you know, the state hopes to eventually have a database of sellers so that if someone is going from place to place with, you know, selling stuff that you know, you can detect a pattern.
Yeah.
But there is concern that there's a loophole, that this is about transactions of $25 and more. And so there's some concern that, well, you know, the way that the scrappers will get around that is just make sure that their transactions never exceed $24.99. So I suspect this is not the, you know, the last of it. But, you know, the Detroit lawmakers and Mayor Mike Duggan decided to accept it because it's at least a start, because he can't do what he needs to do in Detroit without dealing with, you know, this massive theft of, you know, all this infrastructure that's going on all the time.
And I take it any scrapper who is going to earn $25 or more will have their check actually mailed.
Yes. No more same day cash payments. Yeah. No more, you know, hand them a card and they can go down the street to an ATM to cash it. That you've got to mail it to a physical address, which means you've got to have a record of that address as well.
There was some movement as well on a balanced budget amendment.
A balanced budget convention.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one that's kind of flown under the radar. You know, the legislature passes a lot of resolutions that commemorate, you know, Mark Bayshore Day in Michigan, one that is long overdue, by the way. You know, or memorializing Congress to, you know, take a particular action, and they're symbolic. This is not. This is actually a substantial step toward convening a convention, a national convention of the states, to produce a balanced budget amendment that would then, you know, that would then have to be ratified. Now, we're still a long way from there, but you know, this is, you know, this isn't just a symbolic
well,
measure.
Certainly, if enough states get on board, this has profound national implications.
Yeah. Right now, there are 20 states, maybe 22, who've passed some version of this. And but, you know, the question is, are they close enough in, you know, how they're drafted and their purpose to actually count, you know, on the tally of the states calling for one of these conventions?
Is there a timeline involved in this process then?
There is not a timeline. Now, a lot of us, you know, grew up in the 70s with the Equal Rights Amendment. Mm-hmm. And that Congress, when it sent it to the states, put a timeline on it, and that expired. That's not typically the case. And, you know, you go back in history, back in 1992, the state of Michigan – I was actually there in the legislature when it happened, and we were in a race with New Jersey. The state of Michigan put the Madison Amendment over the top. It was the final state needed to put that into the United States Constitution, the most recent amendment. And that's the one that says that members of Congress cannot vote themselves a pay raise They cannot get that pay raise until they've gone back and faced voters in a, in a re-election campaign. And that actually set a record. It took 202 years, 7 months, and 12 days. That's
you're
all it
you're
took.
You're not joking.
No, no, no. It was drafted.
So Madison, as in James Madison?
James Madison was the person who drafted the amendment, and that's how long it took that. So there's nothing that says, I mean, you know, our grandkids could be sitting in this studio, you know, talking about how they've gotten closer to a balanced
budget convention.
And
the debate got pretty intense.
Oh, very, very intense. That first of all, you know, some strong feelings about the merits of this, that this is part of the effort to make government, the federal government, so small that you could drown it in a bathtub, you know. On the one side versus, you know, we're already, you know, frittering away our children's future. At one point, Representative Jeff Irwin of Ann Arbor got gaveled down as out of order, and he stood up and shouted at the presiding officer, "You're out of order!" So it was,
intense day.
Yeah, just like Al Pacino in Injustice for All.
We want to thank the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta. We've been talking about the EAA, a balanced budget amendment, with some movement on that and new scrap metal reforms here for the state of Michigan. Thank you, Rick.
Oh, my pleasure.